This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
Gibson's Tire Pros guest hotline. Hey, Rodney, thanks for adjusting your schedule and coming on a day earlier this week. Really appreciate it.
No, hey, I appreciate it, John and Barry. I hope you guys are doing well.
Doing well. Looking forward to Thanksgiving. And I know you are as well, but we got to start like we normally do, kind of recapping before we look ahead. 60-point win over Kentucky. Was there value there for Alabama, Rodney? And if so, what did you see? What was the takeaway there?
Well, I think there certainly was value, many things. Number one is, obviously, we talked about this last week, unprecedented layoff, 3 weeks. You guys have been following it probably as long as I have. And I don't ever remember 3 weeks between a regular season game. So that was unusual. I mean, a lot of disruptions, distractions. You don't even really know if you're going to play because Kentucky had some guys down. Alabama had some guys down, no starters, but they still had some guys down. So there was a lot of uncertainty. And the thing was, how are you going to respond to these things? And I thought that I was a little not concerned, but I was curious about how, Alabama would come out. And I think we saw that Alabama came out and played a little bit lethargic at first. I think that's probably fair to say, a little confused, a little sluggish. But I think after the bad snap on the field goal, the energy just kind of picked up dramatically. And, from there on, they obviously dominated on both sides of the ball. They played really well. They got to play a ton of players. You talk about the value of playing some of these younger players, the running backs. I know Jace McClellan, Roydell Williams got great experience. They look good. And then how about, this is something that I don't think a lot of people touch on or we often overlook. Some of these young offensive linemen late in the game, and John and Barry, I'm sure you noticed it, they didn't just come in there and kind of, flounder around. They really looked pretty solid out there executing. So I thought those young freshman offensive linemen having that opportunity was really great.
Yeah, it was. I agree. And talk a little bit more about the McClellan, the running back. I was watching the game and going, man, who is this guy? He looks pretty good.
Right. Well, Jace McClellan, again, he is from Aledo, Texas. He's that's one of the more prominent high school programs in the state of Texas. He was originally committed to Oklahoma for 2 years before flipping to Alabama late in the process last year.
That's right.
A guy that was, really tremendous prospect. So I thought he ran extremely well. He's obviously got great vision, a guy that has a little burst to him. He's just, obviously flashed some of that 10 carries, 99 yards. I thought Roydell Williams played well, too. He showed a little spark there. I think so those two guys are really, as you look at them, I think for the future, very, very promising. And hopefully Trey Sanders, they expect him to make a full recovery. But you never know. But certainly we hope that happens. That would give them three really tremendous young backs.
One of the things that I noticed, not necessarily from the game, but the upshot afterwards, Rodney, Devontae Smith, by the way, named the SEC co-offensive player of the week. His numbers, I think he set the SEC record for touchdown catches in a career. He's become an all-timer, and he gets he's been around so many of the other guys, so some people who were maybe a little bit more high-profile for several years, he's an all-timer in the Southeastern Conference, and I'm not sure that I would have said he had that potential, after year one or so. That guy has been as good as any wide receiver ever at Alabama, am I right? Numbers-wise.
Yeah, sneaky good, Barry and John. Just that's the way I would kind of describe him. And, as true freshman, he came in, he was pretty highly touted out of Louisiana, obviously. But obviously he had that great play, second and 26. He had also, remember, as a true freshman, had the winning touchdown against Mississippi State that year earlier. So he's always been a guy that made plays. He's very smooth. We know that. And I think one of the things with Devontae is, when he got here, when he came out of high school, if he was 160 pounds, that was soaking wet. I mean, really. And I say that literally. So he's had to work. And I think, you know, physically everyone just kind of looked at him as just a skinny kid. But, yeah, I mean, just so smooth. Incredibly, incredibly smooth. Big play guy. But, hey, how about that punt return that he had? I mean, he had a really nice punt return, showed a ton of potential doing that. Now, the thing is, John and Barry, I know Alabama fans have gotten a lot of texts, a lot of calls saying, just put somebody back there to fair catch the thing. Don't risk, Devontae. Right. Just incredible player.
Rodney Orr, the Tider Insider, joining us here this week. I'm sure you've kind of felt it as well, Rodney. It just doesn't feel like an Iron Bowl week.
No.
Obviously, there are games after this one. With what's gone on prior to this game, it's just odd. The whole season has been, but for
everything's odd. Yeah,
yeah, like this, it just has really been strange. And Saturday, there won't be any tailgating. There'll be about 20,000 fans at the game, maybe, and they'll kick it off.
Yes, but it'll still be the Iron Bowl. It's Alabama Auburn. Once the game kicks off, I think that. You know, we'll still, everyone who's either in the press box, watching on TV, wherever you are, certainly will be glued to it. And it's a meaningful game, obviously, to many people. And I think that you look at both teams. I mean, you know, obviously Auburn's made a lot of improvement throughout the season. Extremely capable team. I mean, and this is a lot riding on the outcome for them, but also obviously Alabama. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just got an odd feel to it. But the whole season, I think everything really does. It just feels unusual.
Wanted to ask you your perspective on a comment that Gus Malzahn from Auburn made in his press conference yesterday. It's not the one John thinks of, but somebody was asking him about Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was kind of unprompted, Rodney. He says you can tell he's got more experience. I think he did a solid job last year. But Malzahn goes on to say, quote, boy, I tell you what, their offensive line, they're probably one of the best I've ever seen in our league, end quote. I agree with him. In terms of all-time Alabama O-lines, where do you think they stack up? Because they look really good to me.
Well, the best offensive lines I've seen at Alabama that I recall, again, there's been a few.
Yeah.
1979, we're going way back, obviously. You know, led by Dwight Stevenson, who's probably the greatest center that's ever played, the game, possibly. But that was a tremendous offensive line. They won two national championships, 78 and 79. And then, go back to 2012. That offensive line, Barrett Jones, all those great players that they had, Chance Warmack, they had a tremendous offensive line, obviously. So those two are – this one right here, it has a chance to go down as one of those. But, 2012, they won a national championship too. Let's see how the season plays out, how they continue to play, but – right now you have to look at them, what Landon Dickerson's doing. Emil Ekior's done a fantastic job stepping in at right guard. Deontay Brown, Evan Neal flipping over from left guard to right tackle. And then, they've just done a great job, Alex Leatherwood at left tackle. So really doing a – let me say this about this game with this offensive line too.
Mm-hmm.
Think about – and again, I don't know. You hate to speculate something like this, but – yeah, watching that Tennessee game, you're thinking, okay, did Auburn prepare for Tennessee or did they prepare for Alabama? And Tennessee really gashed them. It was kind of alarming how much they gashed the Auburn defensive front running the football.
Yeah.
If that was indicative of the way Auburn defensive line might play on Saturday, that could be a long, long game. We'll see. I got to think, though, I don't know about you guys, but I got to think Auburn has spent a lot of their time off thinking about Alabama.
Well, John, the coach yesterday the says they think about them 365 days out of the year.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've asked you this before, every year before this, and I think it bears asking again. In your experience covering recruiting as well as you do at TigerInsider.com, for recruits, particularly in this state, particularly, you know, in the Southeast, does the outcome of this game usually ever even have an impact at all in what a player decides as far as where they go to school?
You know, I think over a period of time it can. I don't know. I think back in the day, sometimes that used to be more so a little bit. You saw the team with the momentum that year, and maybe you got all excited, whatever. I just think times have changed. I mean, I just think it's really changed. I don't think it's as much. Again, if one team dominates another over a period of time, yes, certainly. But, you know, I think in this state, you kind of grow up with allegiances, and then those either, you know, influence you to one school or the other, or you grow up maybe liking a school, but you're going to go to the one that you feel is the best fit for you when it's your opportunity. So, again, I don't know that all that is what it used to be, maybe in some cases it does matter more than you would think.
Rodney, I guess we do need to touch on this briefly. Nate Oates opens his men's basketball season up tonight there at Coleman Coliseum.
Mm-hmm, yeah. You know, there's a lot of excitement, John and Barry. You know, it's the first game. Again, distractions, disruptions, all of those things. I noticed Coach Oates said last night, that they'd gotten all their practices in. Some teams haven't been able to do that. So they were very fortunate to be able to do that. You know, and I also know, based on history here, recent history especially, watching the forum, TigerInsider.com, that, you know, if Alabama doesn't come out and win that first game by 50, the fans are let's give this team some time to develop. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of expectation, but, you know, you have to be realistic sometimes. It's the first game. So let's see how it kind of unfolds.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, don't look for the 50-point blowout win so early. I mean, it's a long season.
Really is. John and Barry, before we go, too, because I know you guys are running short on time, I do want to mention about recruiting, football
yes.
recruiting real quickly, if you don't
Absolutely.
Mind.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, Xavier Worthy is a wide receiver out of Fresno, California. He's committed to Michigan. I've been committed to Michigan for a while. I think the guy is a five. I've been saying since the spring, this is a five-star player. He's built like Devontae Smith coming out of high school. He has Henry Ruggs' legitimate 10-5 speed.
Wow.
And he has Jerry Jeudy moves, okay? People may kind of laugh at that. But remember, we said back in the day, watch out for Jalen Waddle. He had some Palmer and some Amari Cooper in him. And so I think this kid has a lot of potential. If he flips to Alabama, I think that would be a huge pickup for Alabama, this wide receiver corps. You know, they got some other guys possibly coming in. Tanisi Adelaide, a defensive lineman out of Katy, Texas, five-star player, according to some. Possibly Terrion Arnold, a great safety out of Tallahassee, Florida. Possibly Xavier Sori, a linebacker out of IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. So they've got some guys that are expected to be in. So we'll keep an eye on that. And I think Alabama has a chance to finish very strong in recruiting.
Excellent. Wow. I think you might have just answered Barry's previous question about recruiting. That footprint is very wide and big when it comes to Alabama recruiting. Maybe that's one of the differences as well.
That's right.
Michigan, California, all over the place. Wow.
Yep. One final question real quick, Rodney, and we got about a minute or so. The first college football playoff rankings came out, Alabama number one. I've impressed the playoff committee. It leads me to believe more and more that as we track down to the postseason, there's got to be a game coming up on December the 12th, right? I mean, Alabama's and LSU have got to figure something out. Am I right? Do you hear that?
Well, you know what? That's what I keep hearing. I certainly don't know exactly what'll happen, but I do keep hearing that whether it's, and I'm trying to figure out, I've heard the possibility they may put LSU next weekend mm-hmm. after the Auburn game and then bump Arkansas back, if that makes sense.
That would have
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I don't know that, but that's certainly been mentioned.
Yeah, I'm hearing that too, Rodney, but you would think they'd go ahead and make an announcement pretty quick on that because you got to think Florida, if they're going to face Alabama in the championship game, doesn't want Alabama to have an off week before they play in Atlanta.
True, very true. And, think about this, John and Barry. Think about this real quickly. Florida, they're going to have like seven or eight straight games heading into that SEC championship game. I'm telling you, that takes a toll on a team you play that many straight games.
No doubt about it. Well, all good intel, Rodney. We always appreciate it. And there's plenty more at TigerInsider.com. How do people get information that you provide?
TigerInsider.com. It's only $48 a year. You can get instant access with your credit card if you prefer. There's an address there to send a check, and that gives you all our premium information, but also our all sports forum. It's been rolling pretty good. So, all of it right there, only $48 a year at TigerInsider.com.
Man, great information as always from the Tider Insider. Hey, have a great Thanksgiving, Rodney. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, John and Barry, you guys have a happy Thanksgiving to all your listeners as well.